InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
A recent report says that drivers who use their phone while on the road are 240% more likely to crash. But new technology may improve driving habits. Here with the story, InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. More than 200,000 lives have been lost on U.S. roads just in the past 5 years. A new report from the Governor's Highway Safety Association and Cambridge Mobile Telematics is calling for a bold shift, using predictive analytics to prevent crashes before they happen. My guest is Ryan McMahon, Senior Vice President at Cambridge Mobile Telematics, a company dedicated to making roads safer with advanced technology and AI. Ryan, welcome to InfoTrack.
Thank you for having me.
200,000 is a staggering number. From your perspective, why has it been so difficult to move the needle on roadway safety, and why is now the time for a different approach?
I think that it has become the background, the norm of the roads, that people are in crashes and that lives are lost on a daily basis. I think if you compare it to other modes of transportation, the level of risk is so much higher, but the level of attention that other modes of transportation get when there is an issue, when something does occur, that's the bottom line where attention comes in to solve problems. And yet, when you add up all of the incidents from just, you know, the last year, last 2, 5, 10, the numbers are staggering. But because they come in each individual crash with each individual story, and because each incident doesn't have the level of scale that some of the incidents have in other modes of transportation, it just hasn't garnered the same level of attention. And because of that, I think people have gotten used to it.
So this report or action plan is about preventing crashes, not just responding to them. So can you break down what that shift really looks like in practice?
Yeah, I think if you look at where the cause of the crash has been investigated in the past, most of those investigations are occurring from a law enforcement perspective, where their time and attention is really to try to identify the fault of an individual person. And then, is there a criminal penalty? Is there liability from a civil perspective? And then the insurance industry is involved after that point with their own investigations. In rare cases, you have folks like the NTSB that will investigate roadway highway crashes. But most of the time, the crash information, the data, the information that we use to identify what caused that crash is originating from a very limited subset of information, a very limited subset of sources. So as a result, the information over the last decade or so points to a very limited number of causes of crashes. And if it doesn't fall within the purview of the officer to identify those elements, then they may go unnoticed. For example, you may have a pavement surface condition that is causing drivers that are braking hard not to be able to gain enough traction to stop in time for perhaps an infrastructure issue that has been present for a number of years after a new building went into construction. All of this information is coming in from a daily source to try to identify what's happening on the roads, but that information isn't necessarily paired with the information of what causes crashes. And what the report between CMT and GHSA has done is start to connect those sources in a way that helps those that are in a position to improve highway safety to ultimately be able to start to use information that can paint a picture prior to that crash occurring, as opposed to waiting for ultimately that crash to happen and then the investigation goes down a path that is fairly narrow in scope.
So it's using tools like AI and telematics risk assessments to actually see or identify a crash before it happens.
Yeah, I mean, if you look in the insurance industry, there's a really good corollary. About a decade ago, the insurance industry started to offer to consumers the ability to have their price calculated based on how they drive, as opposed to their record. Their record is a function of how they drive plus their interaction with the legal system. But in reality, we know that it's rare for somebody to get pulled over. And you could have somebody with a very clean record that's an unsafe driver. They just happen to be in areas where it's not as observable. So what happened with the insurance industry is they started to offer better prices to drivers that were willing to create their own records. Initially, that came in through OBD2 ports where drivers would plug in a device to their car and send it back to the insurance company to assess things like hard braking and speeding. And what's happened since then is most of that sensor technology has moved to the smartphone. And the smartphone has been able to gather that information. So over 50 million consumers are opted into programs that allow them to have their price based on how they drive. And with that element, it enables them the ability to fundamentally get all of the benefits from that safe driving record, but that safe driving record is now a function of their actual observed risk versus the luck that happens from when somebody gets into a situation where they may or may not be interacting with law enforcement. So if that information is helpful to the insurance industry and they're pricing billions of dollars of insurance based on it, then that same methodology can be used on a public perspective to try to identify the precursors to crashes, the precursors to the errors, the precursors that lead to serious injuries and fatal crashes.
But one concern people often raise with data and AI is privacy. How do these safety tools protect a driver's personal information while still being effective?
Yeah, it's a good question. From a privacy perspective, the ultimate information that's used to predict and identify and understand what causes crashes is really not anything about an individual. The sensor information that observes elements like hard braking is looking at the preponderance of concentrations of those activities within an area, and then helping to identify and understand what's underlying that condition. From a privacy perspective, no individual information is needed to identify that. And really, when it comes to privacy, the main component, and it's just discussed fairly well in the report, is removing the trip information from the incident. So if an incident is a hard braking event, for example, and you can start to identify and gather where a preponderance of those hard braking events are occurring, you're not seeing where that trip occurred. All you're seeing is that at a particular stretch of road at a particular time, there is a concentration of hard braking events that are occurring in that particular area. You don't know who, you don't know what type of vehicle they're driving, you don't know where they started or when they ended their journey. You just know that at that particular place, there's a concentration. And this is pretty interesting because you can start to build a picture of what's happening on the road without ever knowing anything about the individual. And in fact, it's a step forward in privacy because for a long time, a lot of the efforts that have occurred in road safety have been focused on identifying the individual, identifying the people, and trying to build patterns around different subgroups of individuals. And there's certainly people that are more represented in serious injury and fatal crashes. But the reality is that we know that there really is no safe or unsafe driver. There are safe or unsafe trips. And if you can break down the components of those safety elements away from those drivers, then from a privacy perspective, all you're seeing is where those incidents are happening. And then allows you to look at it from a different perspective. And we've been able to find things that are pretty eye-opening from that approach that are fully guarding of an individual's privacy.
At the end of the day, though, drivers still make choices behind the wheel. So how do predictive tools and evidence-based laws, things like, you know, hands-free or seatbelt requirements, work together to change human behavior?
Yeah, humans are still fully in the driver's seat, even when autonomy is engaged, at least until the law adapts. But we can look at things where the infrastructure and the driver behavior are in conflict with each other. And a very simple, very visual example of this is I was in Washington, D.C. this summer and found a location with a high preponderance of hard braking events. And I visited that location. What I found was a stop sign that was occluded by a tree. The tree had grown so much that the leaves were in front of the stop sign. You couldn't see it. So what happens in that kind of scenario is the drivers don't realize that a four-way stop is truly a four-way stop. They think it's a two-way stop. They don't see a stop sign. So they're proceeding through and drivers in the other direction need to take evasive action at that time. So is it still the driver's responsibility to drive with care and prudence and ensure that they avoid a crash? Certainly, absolutely, that's the case. But is there also an opportunity for us to look at places where the behavior and the infrastructure are in conflict and start to build better strategies? That's also, you know, absolutely true. And whether it's a hands-free law and This is a good example. The state of Ohio enacted a hands-free law. And what they were able to do is do analysis and identify which parts of the state were trending in the right direction and which parts of the state were not responding to the new law. Then they could start to build their media campaigns in the counties and the areas of the state that were lagging behind the other areas and be able to be more effective with the dollars that are spent. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we spend tens of millions and in many cases, billions of dollars on a national level to improve road safety. And about 100 people die every day on the roads. So the tools that we're using at this point to improve the outcomes, to improve the roads, are pretty expensive to deploy at the dollar level and just enormously expensive at the individual health and safety level. So we're not really being as effective as we can be. So ultimately, if we have the ability to identify and understand what's causing a crash from a macro level, identify the places where the behavior is in conflict with the infrastructure and where changes need to be made, and identify which solutions are best positioned to solve those problems, then the outcome for all of us on the roads is that we get to where we're going safely and faster too, because ultimately every time there's a crash, even if it's not a severe crash, it certainly impacts everybody else on the road. So this is really about not only saving lives, but building efficiency into a system that is so important to so many people.
Ryan McMahon with Cambridge Mobile Telematics. Thanks for joining us today on InfoTrack.
Thank you.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
Next, sex advice from social media. That story as InfoTrack continues.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.